Together, our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we receive clarity and information concerning the things of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost meetings as found in your Son Jesus. We behold him as he sees us in here. This day, he is glorified in all we say and do, and we are edified in all we say and do. Amen. All right, we're looking at the Holy Ghost meetings by precept and by example. The two services, that's what we'll be teaching throughout this month. By precept and by example. In other words, it's going to be something you will learn from, and I'll just take it up from the first step. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, till the end of the age. Even unto the end of the age. Now, we said that the word make disciples, matituo in the Greek, it means to make people learn. In other words, the church is a place where we learn. Now, we learn by precept and by example. We learn about prayer. Prayer is a major subject in the church. Now, do you know, everybody knows about prayer. Everybody knows, every human being knows about prayer. I can almost everybody prays. But there is a kind of prayer we teach in the church. That's why Jesus, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 43, he said to them, you have heard it has been said to you, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But now I say to you, love your enemy. Then he says, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. So, in other words, this is a kind of prayer. Pray for those who despitefully use you. In other words, there is nowhere in the new covenant we are told to pray against. There's no praying against. It's pray for. Pray for. You look at all the instructions to pray. Pray for us, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 1. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Pray for us. We are not to pray against the devil. We don't have any scripture for that kind of stuff. Pray for is what we have. Pray for. There's no pray against. Hallelujah. Prayer is not against. Prayer is for. Right? So, in chapter 6, he says, where you pray, you enter into your closet to pray to your Father who sees you in secret. Then, he gives you, or he rewards you openly. Then later on, he says, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at the prayer. You give us this day our daily bread. That's not the giving you the church card. The daily bread there is forgiveness of sins. You deliver us from the evil one. You lead us not into temptation for your name's sake. You forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And you know, that really was the prayer. Because as soon as he said that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever, amen. Then he says, if you forgive not those who trespass against you, it's not as your heavenly Father forgive you your trespass. That becomes the strength of what he was talking about. So in other words, he teaches us to pray. There's a teaching to pray. And you know, Jesus didn't just say it. Right on the cross, he proved it. He prayed that way. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the prayer he taught. Look at what I'm saying right now. So he taught to pray. In Mark 11, 24, it said, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. He taught to pray for things. Matthew 21, 22. Whatsoever you desire, you pray, believing that you receive them, you have them. In prayer, you have them. Matthew 21, 22. He taught to pray, that when you pray your right standing. Luke 18, pray your right standing. So, he taught prayer, and then he showed it by example. What else did he do? After teaching them to pray, he prayed. So I say he prayed. Matthew 3:17, he prayed. When he was going to be baptized, he prayed. In Luke 5, verse 16, he withdrew himself to the wilderness and prayed. Luke 6, verse 12, he continued all night in prayer. Luke 5, 16, Luke 6, 12. But in Luke 9, 28, he now takes his own disciples to go and pray. Alright, he took them to a mountain to pray. Luke 9, 28. In Matthew 27, he took them to 26, he took them to go and pray. So there is teaching by example. There's a precept and then there's the example. So discipleship follows the same pattern. You are taught, then you also go and pray. That's why upon his resurrection, if you don't know what they were doing on the day of Pentecost, they must have been praying. Because in Acts 1:14, he says they continued in prayer and supplication. Acts 1:14. I was in the same one accord that Luke recorded in Acts 2:1-4. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Then he also mentioned prayers. Acts 3:1, Peter and John went up to the temple in the hour of prayer. That means the church had what? Not 1 hour. Times of prayer. Just like we have our prayer groups in this church. There's time of teaching, there's time of prayer. So Jesus taught them prayer, he prayed. He also made them pray. On the two occasions he took them to pray, do you know the interesting thing? Something is corroborating. In the two occasions, they were sleeping. The first time, the Mount of Transfiguration. I'm very sure what they saw was the end. We don't know who else must have been visualized on that mount. But he said, hey, yes. See this wonder, Hey! Can we build 3 cathedrals? One for you? They were sleeping. And sleeping badly. How can the... See, some people are really serious. How can the Lord God take you to a prayer meeting and you sleep? So, child leaders, you understand? If the Lord God and his left, he took them again. He said, come on, let us pray. And he told them they were going to pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I remember years ago, I joined a ministry on the campus. Now, I've learned not to say this when it happened. Because I think he was saying this morning that you allow things to wait for a while before you see them. So it's not like you are abusing the people. This is a while. Okay? So I was going for this vigil. And so we're all going for a vigil. Now when I'm going for a vigil, you just wear jeans and pair of slippers. You get my point? There were no phones there. So they're just going. But I saw people carrying mattresses and pillows. Hey! I'm joking. And then they went inside. And the first 3 hours we were singing. I said, how did I get here? People just went inside with their mattresses and pillows. By 4 o'clock, they came out again. Some guys have just grace. Some guys will sleep in the rapture. Hallelujah. So, they went there. Said, Lord, we are here to pray. Okay, stay here. Let me go on. He came back to check them. The 3. Plus that John, who said, I'm the devil whom the Lord loveth. Can't you work with me? He came back again.
1 hour. That means at least pray for 1 hour. So I said, thank you, Pastor. No. At least. There was somebody like that. We're going to lead a prayer meeting. Let us begin to pray. He started leading praise worship. I said, okay, maybe for the starter. You are grateful. Oh Lord, hallelujah. We are faithful. Oh Lord. He was just singing. 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I said, bros, we came to pray. Sir, you have not prayed though. You are only preparing to pray. Adonai. He came back again. The third time he came, he said, Master, we are ready. He said, sleep on. If God should tell you, sleep on. Ah. He's not a good utterance. You don't receive that saying you are edified. He said, sleep on. That hour has passed. So they taught them to pray. So the church was taught prayer. And they also pray. What else? Jesus also taught them to preach. So your church must teach you to pray and teach you to preach. I mentioned this in the first service, but some of you were up. The joy of a law school is to produce lawyers. The joy of a medical school is to produce doctors. How can a medical school advertise that, you know, the last few years, we have been turning out excellent footballers. You say, what are you talking about? We have, in fact, we've been so multidimensional that now we have some people in our that graduate first class from our medical school and they can repair cars. No. Their joy is in what they are doing. They reproduce their kind. Law schools reproduce very good lawyers. The church should also talk about reproducing ministers of the gospel. Who's following what I'm saying? That's the work of the church. If I want to apply for a school now, and you tell me, and I'm about to apply for this, I want to do a master's program, PhD, you tell me, these are the products of our university. You mentioned General Batias, Prophet, I won't come. What am I coming here to do? I said I want to come and study law. You are telling me General Basia. So the church is supposed to disciple people just like you. Are there going to be people who will be engineers? Sure, there will be the engineers here, doctors, lawyers, pharmacists, teachers, traders, all here. But what is common to us, the common cause, the common vision, is the preaching of Christ, the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you there? It's a wrong idea to think that there's a ministry called evangelist who should go to the world and preach. No, the evangelist is to come to the church, not to the world. I've explained that to you over and over again. Every believer has that ministry of reconciliation. So when Jesus was preaching in Matthew 4:23 and Matthew 9:35, he now chose the 10. You know, in Matthew 9, he said that the laborers are few. So the Bible says he had compassion upon the people. He said, they were like sheep without shepherd. In verse 37 and 38, he now says, the laborers are few, though the harvest is plenteous. Prepare ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send for laborers. I remember one day like that, I was with some people years ago. We had this team. We called it the royal family. So we're praying for the Lord of the harvest to send for laborers. I will pray. We will fast. In fact, there was a day time that we fasted for 40 days. We will pray and pray. So I now told them that we're going to do evangelism. They did not come the second day. I said, you are praying for a lot of the harvest to send for laborers. Are you not the answer to that prayer? The laborers that are few that Jesus referred to were his disciples. What person is not called few? So if you are praying for people to reach the unsaved, you will first of all do what? Practice it. And as soon as he said that, chapter 10, verse 1, he chose the 12 and sent them out. That's the result of the prayer. So he prayed, he taught it, he also told them to pray. He preached, he taught it, he also told them to preach. And the same thing was reproduced in the book of Acts. As the apostles were preaching, also as they began to raise disciples, notice, as soon as we had disciples in chapter 6, I told you that order, they picked 7 of them. Well, we have Philip and Stephen. And by verse 6 to 7, Stephen had started teaching and preaching the word amongst the others. And by chapter 8, Philip had gone to Samaria, verse 5 and 6, and others have traveled to verse 4. So, discipleship will teach you to pray, and will teach you to preach. Teach you to what? And also preach, and of course heal the sick. That's the work of a church. A church has no business organizing skills acquisition seminar. It's not your business. The church has no business teaching what the world should be doing. And so, we saw that earlier on. So, there is a training, a teaching. And let me say this. The reason why many people, and I'm just saying this by what I sense to say, why some of us would start out burning for the Lord in the things of the Spirit and they dwindle is because your focus changed. The moment your focus changed, their preacher we spoke last night, a pastor somewhere in Lagos, a friend, then he shared with me a testimony of something I put out on social media. I shared something on social media about an experience I had a couple of years ago. I was in university then. So after a while, I just sensed that I should come around a fellowship. I was pastoring a church, but I said, no, let me just have a place here that I can identify with. So I decided to get this particular fellowship that was introduced to me by my friend, Pastor Bulu Paul. He's in America. And then he said, you like that church. He said, they like what like you. I said, no problem. So I went there. And I noticed that the church just, they will have semblance of what we used to call back the new creation reality. They will say a few things nice. But then there's so much activity. The offering time will almost be competing with the teaching. The praise worship will even exceed the teaching time. Prayer was like we were being forced. Thanksgiving, there were so many things taking our attention. So I decided to get books for the pastor. So I'll travel to Ibadan then. I'll take the books. I'll go and buy from Christ Chapel, Ashibodija. I bought E.W. Kenyon books. In fact, at the point, I didn't get Eden Man of the Heart for him. So I went to meet a friend of mine then, Pastor Nick Kofashino then. I got his own copy. And then I photocopied it. Then I took it to this guy. Say, look, you know what? Pastor, please be reading this. You know, when you go to your pastor, tell him what to be reading. Pastor, please. Study this one. This one. So I remember I gave to him, the one to start with was the Blood Covenant by Kenyon. So I gave him the Blood Covenant. He said, start with this one. I said, okay, no problem. So I expected by the next week, he will start the teaching. So he started teaching. Oh, Blood Covenant. What death? He's like, he put the book on the pulpit. He was teaching from there. Blood Covenant. What death? By about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, he was done. No problem. That's the first day. But I knew that that kind of book would take 2 weeks. By the second week, by 20 minutes, Book of Revelation. Everything was finished. He started talking about purpose. Wisdom key. Ah. So I went to meet him, I said, sir. Why did you just round up the thing and cut it short in righteousness? He said, no, you know, everything cannot be teaching. He said a lot of things. I said, let me advise you. You see, it's better to have an identity. On this campus, do you have any fellowship where they say all they do is the Word and the Holy Ghost? There's none. why can't we sacrifice to have that?
He said, you know, we can blend everything together. I said, no. Even the things you are trying to do, you are trying to copy them. They have gone ahead. They are better. If I want this entertainment, I won't stay here. You don't even know how to do it. I was blunt, I was much more blunt when I was younger. I said, you don't know. But if you stay with the world, it may take a while. But after a while, if people are looking for a place of the world and the Holy Ghost, they'll point here. Say, you think about it and all that. I started for them a correspondence school. I bought books. I said, let's do a library. So that all members can come. Take Hagin books. Take Kenyon books. Take Copeland books of those days. I understand you. You know, you have passion for ministry. Ministry. I said, don't turn this ministry to an incinerator. A garbage dump. You know a garbage dump? Everything is dumped there. Let's have an identity. He said, all right. But he left. And I said to him, I hope, I pray to God that people that have revelation knowledge can be consistent. Jehovah's wickedness is so consistent. Very consistent. Mormons, consistent. They don't apologize. Have you seen Jehovah's wickedness? Weakness. People go to their temple. You know they run. They keep to time. It's a culture. You find people and they say, don't let the two. I told the fellow, I said, you have not even preached the gospel up to 6 months. You are apologizing for how you are saying it. I said, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Say it. And I told you, pastor did not listen. He was looking for crowd. Whatever you stay with for long, whether true or false, it will grow after a while. It's a fact of life. Much more if it's the truth. So I said to him, so when that pastor read that testimony, he now called me. He said it's so blessing as a pastor. But there was something he said. He said, do you know that the problem with many people who are pro-revelation knowledge, New Testament churches, is that they can't endure boredom. He said, because you keep coming to the service and you keep hearing the same things. You know, when you hear something for the first time, you look like, we die here. Because you are hearing it for the first time. We die here. Hey. 6 months. 1 year. So that's where the problem is, sir. Is to stay with the same things. So for some people, the reason why the things of the spirit dwindle, they change their focus. And you see men, look up. A man like Kenneth Hagin, he had been holding Holy Ghost meetings, having them since the 1950s, 1960s, till he passed on 2003. That means well over 40 years. That's something about being consistent. You can stay there and just be there and you get better. I'm more effective and experienced. Hallelujah. So in discipleship, you keep learning the same thing again and again and again. One of them we said is prayer. Evangelism. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Go back again to that Matthew 28. Also we left off in the first service. So there are different kinds of meetings you must know. There are different kinds of meetings. The primary meeting is what? What? The local church is a teaching meeting.
The primary meeting is the teaching meeting. It's from the teaching meeting that we learn the other meetings. After the teaching meeting, we now have what? The prayer meeting. They are not the same. Then we have what else? Evangelistic with healing meetings, where we take the gospel to the unsaved. Then what else do we have? Believers meetings or Holy Ghost meetings. And that's what we're doing in this couple of weeks. Believers meetings and Holy Ghost meetings is where we come to practice amongst ourselves the realities of the things of the Spirit. Now, go back to that Matthew 28. Notice I said, we learn and practice. We do what? We do what? We learn and what? So it's not good enough to just learn it. You also what? Hallelujah. Blah blah blah, bro, gatan the tisa peta, gango, glatis, rahanga, to speak that to us. Yeah, it's the practice. It's in the practice that things dwindle. For you know within your heart that you have the knowledge. You've heard it, you've known it, you've even done it. But it's in the practice. Well, you left it for a while, a long while, and so it appeared like you were not interested again. That disinterest was created by you. But you can get a hold of yourself together again, says the Lord, and ensure that you put these things to practice all over again. Go back to how you used to pray, and prayed in the Holy Ghost, and prayed with prophecy, and prayed with revelation. Get back to those times. Yeah, those times where you just choose to fast. Take your time off food, off television, off natural things, to spend time and just pray. And you will get it back again. In fact, you will get that cutting edge like before and stronger than before, and you will be much more accurate and precise than ever before. Hallelujah. If that minister to you, let me see your hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me get back to what I was saying. So we said earlier on that there's a learning. There's a learning of the things of the Spirit. There's a place of teaching. Now, we have a lot of series on our website. We have a lot of series. There's no year in over 20 something years. I don't teach the things of the Spirit every year. So you have material. But there's a learning. There's a learning. An actual practice. And if there's any benefit you here now, you have, is that you are a saint of the church. You have crossed at least 60% of the other. Because when it comes to the things of the Spirit, one of the most important ingredients is association. Environment. It's one of the, in Brother Higgins' teaching on the anointing, a book I read that turned my life around. One of the things he said about the anointing, what he called the anointing in the teaching, is, in, of course, we don't call it the anointing again. I've taught you what the anointing is. But we're saying the same thing. Is there's influence and then there's association. There is a place, and I saw it, really, association. Now, when Jesus left his folks, he said to them, look at Luke 24. I want to show you something. Now, do you know if you look at the Matthew's account, it just says, go and make disciples of every nation. Mark account, go and preach the gospel. Mark now says, this time shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. If they drink any dead thing, shall not hurt them. They'll take up serpents. They'll lay hands until the sick shall recover. Now, it seems as though all he said was, go and preach and then do. In the Luke's account, Luke 24:47, says, repentance and remission of sins will be preached. In the John's account, John 20:21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, what did he just say, go and preach? No. He gave another instruction. Look at Luke 24. We're going to read through it together. Luke 24, 48, 49. Acts 1, 8. No. Acts 1, 4, 5, and 8. That's two references now. Luke 24, 49. Acts 1, 4, 5, and 8. Then look at John 20, 22. Now, you will see something similar there. In Luke, now, Matthew just says, go and make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe what things soever I have commanded you. So we must find out the things he commanded them. Now, Mark says, go and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. But Mark also talked about something that was very unique, speaking tongues. Then he uses the word new tongues. That was the only new thing added to anything they had seen before. So there's something in that one. That was the only new thing. And that's why I said, kainos glossolalia, new tongues. That was the only new thing. They had cast out devils before. They had healed the sick before. They had taken up serpents before. So that wasn't the first time. But there was a new one. Who's following what I'm saying? This was the new one. He said new tongues. So we want to explore something there. Because it's useful in Holy Ghost meetings. Now, go back to Luke 24. We are going to explore Luke 24, 49. Let's take it together. Luke 24, 49. Behold. Hold on. Now, behold. Is it passive or active? Okay. That means I must look. Active. Behold. I will send the promise of my Father upon you. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, if I say, look, that must be something I am doing or I have done. Who's following what I'm saying here? Now, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be what? Endued. The word endued is a verb. Enduo. You take on yourself or you dip yourself into, like to wear a garment. You'll be endued with power from on high. Now, the on high there is not in the sky. The on high there is where Jesus went to when he rose from the dead. And glory to God, every believer is seated there. I said, every believer is seated there. Ephesians 1:19 says there's an exceeding greatness of his power at work towards us that believe, according to the working of his own mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And I am in Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 5 says, you as he quickened together and made you to sit together, raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly in Christ. Say, I'm there now. Colossians 3, 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above where Christ is seated. See, I'm seated where he's seated. So when he says, seek those things that are above, he's not asking you to look up. He's asking you to look inside. Who's following what I'm saying? Aha. So watch this. Just like when, except a man is born again. And what again means from above. And you think it's me looking up in the sky. No. Above just means by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So when he says, you shall be endued with power from on high. Where is the power? The power is where we are. Say, the power is where we are. Good. So that means he gave them an instruction. There was a condition. Now, the word endued again is to take on yourself. Now, go to the John's account. John 20, 22. He breathed. You know, as Father has sent me, so I send you. He breathed. The word breathe there is emphusao. E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. Emphusao. It's not that he put his nose on their head. No. Emphusao is something that happened inside them. So it is a word that summarizes how Jesus taught them and opened their understanding. In Luke 24, 45. So as he taught them, he opened their understanding. That's what John says, he breathed on, or he breathed. He quickened their thinking, then said to them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The word receive there is the word lambano. It means to take, or to take from, or to take off. To take from, or to take off. To take from, or to take off. Now let me ask a question. Where is the Holy Ghost? Huh? So when it says receive of the Holy Ghost, it means take what is in the Spirit. Remember the first one is where. This one is take it. So look at Acts 1. John, verse 4, verily baptized with the Holy Ghost, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So I wait for the promise of my Father. For John very baptized the Holy Ghost, but he shall be baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now, first he asked the question after he was done. Ah, Lord, all these series you have done, we enjoy it all. Righteousness, who you are in Christ, what is ours now, we are now sons of God. Thank you, sir. But where is the application? Would you at this time again restore the kingdom to Israel? Then he said to them, it is not for you to do, for you, but to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So Jesus separates the kingdom of men from the kingdom of God. You shall receive power. Verse 8. After which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Look at the word receive again. That means you shall take of the power. The same instruction in Luke 24:49. Again in John 20:22. It's repeated in Acts 8. You shall receive power, or you shall take of power. After which the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Notice the word upon means a non-identity, a demonstration. And that's how I explain the word enduo to you. It's something people will see and they will hear. Now, on the day of Pentecost, watch this. So I said to you in the first service that he gave them what to do. Now, that means that the responsibility in yielding to the Spirit of God and the things that happen amongst believers is our own. Whatever happens in church is our call, is what we did or what we did not do. You shall receive. That statement is present tense continuous. Just like saying, pray. Just like saying, preach. You're not supposed to do it once and stop doing it. Every time you read it, you will preach. Every time you read it, you will pray. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Meditate upon these things holy. They are instructive statements that are present tense continuous. So when He said, you shall receive power, it is as often as you do it. You will take of it. You will be clothed with it. You will wear it like a garment. That is, it will become things that people will see and hear from you. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on, let me see your hand, please. Let me see. Now, look at Acts 2. Acts 2. Now, when the day of Pentecost now came, who spoke? The 120. Wasn't God, though. The 120. Because he told them to receive. He told them to take it. So that means their mouth was the way with which they took it. They spoke. Now, of course, people came around and, you know, in the Solomon's porch, and they were asking, what's going on here? We had this man, Galileans. I did not speak in the tongues where we were born. We heard them through the wonderful works of God. Some say maybe they are drunk with new wine. And Peter got up and began to speak from verse 14, 15. He said, this man is not drunk when as you suppose, but this is for the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last day, he said, God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Then he says, your sons and daughters are prophesied. Listen carefully. Where was the spirit poured from? It was poured from the believers. The spirit did not come from heaven as it is, as it were. It was poured from believers. Because what they saw and what they heard were the actions of the believers. Your sons and daughters shall. That outpouring is what the sons and daughters did. Who's following what we're saying here? Come on, let me see your hand. Let me see. Come on, let me know. Okay, so notice something. After Peter now used that experience from verse 21 to preach about Jesus and salvation, he now said in verse 32, he says, this same Jesus, as God raised from the dead, of which we, the 12 now, are witnesses, and being by the right hand of God exalted. Listen carefully. Being by the right hand of God exalted explains 32. He has been raised from the dead. Now, you will see that the King James says he has received. He has received of the Father or the promise which he has now shed forth that you now see and hear. That's wrong rendering. Jesus is not the one receiving. Hallelujah. From all we have read so far, did you see anywhere Jesus was to receive?
No.
Who was to receive? The believers. So, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the promise of the Father, who did the receiving? Who did the receiving? Who did the receiving? The 120. He has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So, our receiving is his action. Our receiving is his action. He said, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Now, let's go back to the basics. I said this in the first service. The first thing is that he told them to be in one place. Now, the things of the Spirit work with association. If you keep going to a place or you keep attending meetings where all they do is they sing, they dance, and then somebody comes to give talk and all that and all that, what will happen is that the first thing that will happen is that, as you know, man is a product of influence. Let me tell you. I know people that today, they are teaching and preaching, no, they are not even teaching and preaching. They are doing exactly things that they spoke against years ago. And I can tell you why. You see, sometimes, it's just like, let me give you an illustration of a friend of mine years ago. He said it's like you traveled out of the country. And you stop coming to your local church where you hear God's word Sundays, Wednesdays, and all that. You now go to a place. Now, you did not do anything. You didn't start any work. You did not do evangelism. You are not looking for a church. He said that first, it's not wrong to look for a church, but that first thing may be your greatest problem. Then you now go to places. Of course, the first service, you will not enjoy it. You start feeling, see 20 minutes for the word. And all that. You now go back there the next Sunday. And the next Sunday. He said, after a while, unconsciously you start seeing reasons with why they are doing what they are doing. He said, it's because you are now being influenced. There is nothing that is neutral in this life. Even that which is saying nothing is saying something. He said, look, all you need to do is to stop going to places you used to go to, listening to things you were listening to, and then you start thinking, well, really, you start hearing things like there are different expressions, or we are all doing the same thing. You are tired, very tired. Somebody comes on the pulpit, teaches you 2 hours, 2 times a Sunday. During the week, teaches you into hours. Somebody comes, talks for 20 minutes, say we are doing the same thing. How can you say they are saying they are doing the same thing? It can't be. It can't be. It's not the same thing. Go and look for a dictionary and look for the word same thing. The Greek word too will help you. My dear friend said you start to reason that if man is a product of influence. Look at Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Or Eve and Evelyn.
Amen. So say Adam and Steve. Say Adam and Eve. Say Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve.
So, Adam, it's always a product of influence. Something you heard, something you are hearing, you start seeing reasons and all that.
Is there everything that is flow of the Holy Ghost now? The flow of the Holy Ghost can be multidimensional. Can be multidimensional. I saw one expression of the Holy Ghost one day. Somebody said this to me. He said, I saw these people doing choreography. As they were doing those things, they were showing in the natural what they saw in the spirit. I see. It's the end. You know that? That is a product of influence. It's the same way the things of the spirit are a product of influence.
Now, when you read in the book of Acts that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, or they were all in one accord. What one accord means is that as soon as Shegu, right, saw Buki pray, Shegu started praying. As soon as Shegu saw Kenny talking in tongues, Shegu started talking in tongues. As soon as, Shegu saw Tolu rejoicing, Shegu started rejoicing. That's one accord. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, There's someone that Brother Higgins used to call the first responder. That is, there'll be the fourth guy who will, bail the cars. The fourth person. Maybe on that day of Pentecost. Somebody just started out in tongues. And the others who were there, just by being there and releasing their faith, will do exactly what that first person was doing. How many of you know that was how you did most of the things you started doing in the spirit? How many of you know that? Let me say that to you. That's your experience. You saw somebody. You heard someone. You saw someone was saying, hey, all these people, they want people to speak in tongues. They will now say, see that person. See how he's doing it. Say, it's fake. If it's the Holy Spirit, you don't have to see anything. Go and sit down somewhere. The same people will preach that when you see somebody get healed, you can get healed too. They say that. See what Peter now said. He said, he has shed for this, which you now see and hear. So they saw what he was saying. Then he now said, men and brethren, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, that gift of the Holy Ghost, are they seeing what it was? So, if he was going to minister to them, he was going to minister to them what they were seeing. So, there was an influence on what they are just seeing. Who's following this at all? There is a seeing. Now, there's a way you can see something that despises.
Someone was telling me one day, there was a day like that, we were having one meeting, one of the mission 98. And this guy, he had been told stupid things, very stupid things, that these guys, they're extremists, blah, 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 blah. Now, if they told you somebody was extremist, why did you not come for the meeting? He just came. He came. And, so my friend thought, as he finished teaching, we now wanted to have a Holy Ghost meeting. This guy just walked out, he was a pastor. He just walked out as he was leaving. So myself and Pastor Doko Idowu now is in Kaduna. We now went to meet him. Where are you going? He said, is it not concerning spirituals? He said, yes. So I know this thing. I've done it before. I just answered him. I said, the Holy Ghost also knows it and it's still there. He said, my friend, just give me a word of knowledge. He had a serious sickness on his body. That's how we dragged him back to the meeting. He stayed that day and the day after. But look at what was in his heart. He had been told something about the folks organizing the meeting. So if he was there and he saw things, he would still despise it. Because apart from seeing, your seeing it is to release your faith. You can release doubt. You can release mockery. How do you think that the power of God was present to heal in Luke 5?
and the Pharisees were there to criticize Jesus. Yet those people that saw the power of God, they were outside. And those that were in the main auditorium, they were laughing, mocking him. Look at Mark 5. People were touching his clothes, some were mocking him, some were just excited. A woman just said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. So there's what she saw. Now everybody will see it. Now, a man that will now cooperate with the Holy Ghost will now release his faith by seeing. After seeing. So, wow, this is of God. I will walk in this truth. I will walk in this light. Hallelujah. Peter said, you see and you hear. So, remember that it was same day that some said, these men are drunk. But when he now taught them, he now said, that thing that you saw and you were mocking is the Holy Ghost. They now said in their heart, what shall we do? So, at the moment when he said that, what happened to them was that their mindset changed about what they saw. Their mindset changed. So, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, your seeing things helps a lot. It's a major, major influence. My emphasis should be taken. Major, major. In 1 Samuel 10, Samuel says to Saul, after he anointed him with oil, he said, go to that mountain, that hill. You will see some prophets coming down with psalms and with harps and tabrets. He said, join them. He said, join them. Go where they are. There's just something about being where it is done. Because the things of the Spirit are taught and then they are taught. Go where it is done. So, as Saul went there, 1 Samuel 10, he says, the Spirit of God will come upon you and you will be turned to another man and you will prophesy. And that's exactly what happened. All he did was to just be there. That's all. He just was there. 1 Samuel 10. He just showed up. Again, pay attention. In Numbers 21, Moses was to have people do what he was doing. Bear the burden of the people with him. And he was told, gather 70 people, elders. Let them come into the tabernacle and stand with you. And stand where? With you. I will take the Spirit that is upon you and put it upon them. Don't forget the key word. They will stand with you. So, they will see what you are seeing and doing. And they will do the same thing. Numbers 21. So, there's the influence of the gathering itself. The very wise people will take advantage of it. Never be a spectator. A spectator. You know, there's a spectator. When he's watching, he says, hey, ooh, hey. When I was a sports, used to be a supporters club of my, of government college supporters club. There was a day we had boasted we beat, what's this school? This grammar school again. Though. We boasted. We had said all sorts of things. We got to the play. 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0. 5-0, 6-0, 7, 8, 9, 9-0. Ah! Well, I'm coming back from school. That day was very funny. So, as a fan, just to say, But if you're a player and you're watching, your coach expects you to pay attention to that guy, that the way he plays to the right. You will say, So, you can come to church and you're looking. See how that guy is even speaking in tongues. You say, see the person rejoicing. You say,
That means you are a fan.
But when you are part of the flow, you are watching to see what to do. So there is a seeing to do. The doing is that you will release your faith. Say, let them stand with you. Hallelujah. I learned the things of the Spirit by watching people. I'll just come to the meeting, take instructions. You know, that's what it is. Just watch. Meetings are like 70% of all you need to do. Just be there. I've said this to you many times. There's no gifting in my life, my entire life, that I cannot trace to a meeting I attended. Not one. Nothing. I saw people. I heard people. I was there. I was there. There was a meeting we had, Prophecy 96. I mean, it was, all the meeting was for, we're going to start by 7, end at 7 in the morning. It was just flow of the Holy Ghost. 12 hours. 12 hours. At the IndyCar in UI. 7 to 7. Now, you cannot take away that influence on your life. You saw it. You saw it. I saw physical demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. I saw it. So, because I saw it, I could release my faith to do the same thing elsewhere. So, there's a place of seeing it. Be there. Influence does a lot when it comes to the things of the Spirit. So, as a minister of the gospel, watch what you listen to. Never be a friend with anyone who mocks the things of the Spirit. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because it will affect your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues that govern life. Guard your heart. So, in the things of the Spirit, you see, look at Simon the sorcerer. You know, he also saw. That means that the people that got filled with the Holy Ghost, all that happened was that, it's not that John and Peter just went there and they were probably a multitude of people. As one saw this one, he spoke in tongues. You know, they saw it. So the first person will be the first responder, right? As they saw it, they were doing the same thing. But you know what? Simon the sorcerer, rather than release his faith, release his greed. You understand? So you will always get what you release towards the flow of the Holy Ghost. If you are in a Holy Ghost meeting, just say, well, today I will function in the things of the Spirit. I will function in the things of the Spirit. You see somebody walk up and give a tongue of interpretation. You say, I do the same in the name of Jesus. You release your faith to do that. That's why it is vital in the Christian gathering to honor one another. Primarily, of course, you honor those who are in charge of the meeting. Honor them. Honor them. You honor them. You honor them. You honor them. You honor them. Honor the believers that are there. Expect that the Spirit of God will walk through them towards you. Expect it. Expect it. So let's get back to that. So you will see, hear, then release your faith. Your faith there means your expectation. You will see, hear, then release your faith. What it also means is that whatever you see being done, do the same. Some of us are, I said this in the first service, we should be intelligent in the things of the Spirit. Stop clapping. You see, clapping is neither praise nor worship. It's an applause. It's given to celebrate a feat or to welcome someone. It's a worldly way of doing things. It's not wrong. But it is not in the worship of the church. In the Old Testament, everywhere you read the word clap, it was used for mockery. Everywhere. Psalm 47, clap your hands, O ye people. The people he was referring to were the nations, the Gentiles, whom he said that they will be destroyed. So the clapping there is not praise worship. It's a clap of defeat. Just like, let the weak say I'm strong. You know, it's sarcasm. Let the weak, come you mighty men, it's sarcasm. Clap your hands, all ye people, it's sarcasm. So clapping is not praise and worship. That's why you don't see us clap in St. Community Church. It's not because it's a sin, no. But you see, we have not so learned it in the word. What we have learned in the word is to raise our hands, use our lips, hallelujah, bend our knees. That's the precept we have found in the word. We sing in the Holy Ghost, and then we rejoice. Hallelujah. I've taught this over the years. I've been teaching this one for almost 23 years. That's the practice of the church. That's why you will not find clapping at all in the entire New Testament. It's not found in one place. Nowhere. Not in a single place. It has no Greek rendition. Hallelujah. So when you hear, give the Lord a hand. Which Lord? It's not just one hand. It's your leg. Clap for Jesus. No. Now, let me tell you something about that. The first time I read that was 91. Yeah, in a Word of Faith magazine. I really felt uncomfortable somehow because I was a chronic praise worship leader. Men, we used to dance and sweat. The guy would dance, you will sweat like you want to die. The year after, a brother now bought another material. I read the same thing. I still ignored it. You know. But later on, in Follow Kenneth Hagin, and I saw how he explained it. Of course, I went to study myself, and you know, with some of my friends, we studied that. So, really, this thing is not New Testament. It's not even Old Testament. And we saw it from God's Word. But do you know something? Hear me. The honor I gave to that fact that Brother Hagin taught, he even wrote a book again, Greater Glory, and re-emphasized it, has helped me in knowing the things of the Spirit and teaching it. This singular thing I just told you about clapping. This singular thing I just said. In fact, now I'm a bit milder. Now I still say, well, welcome a preacher, you know, back then. If I see you like this. In fact, somebody said, those guys, when they come for your meeting, they'll just be lifting up their hands like statue. They're not even moving. But the thing about it is that whenever there's a Holy Ghost meeting in that particular ministry, we are the ones that will flow. Have you observed it? It is a practice that you are learning. You are practicing the things of the Spirit and doing lesser things in the flesh. That's what you are doing. They knew it. In fact, in that particular ministry, when they have somebody that is sick, they say, go and meet those people, the Spirit people. I told you something my dad did one day. I had these cousins who were all church folks and all that. And my dad would just call me. We were fighting. You'll be fighting me. You are too extreme. But whenever somebody needs to be prayed for, whenever somebody needs to, he won't call my other cousins who are also church people and Christians. No. He said, you don't watch TV. You don't do everything everybody does. You must be very good. You always pray. You are the one that will hear from God. You know, there's a sense in what he's saying. There's a sense in what he's saying. Because the truth of the matter is that, you see, Brother Hagin said this in 1987. We have gotten to the very limits of this fleshly display. If we can quit clapping and start praising, we'll see more of the glory of God in our midst. I believe that fact. And so much. And many people that I have taught over the years in church and ministry, I tell them, change your mode of worship. Just change it. Give more room to the gifts of the Spirit. To that Spirit-led, that Spirit flavor of worship. 1 Corinthians 14:14. How is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Else, when you sing, bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies him of the Lord say amen and give you thanks? See that he understands not what thou sayest. Thou verily give thanks well. Verse 17, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak to more than you all. In verse 26, he now says, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm. Can you imagine? New Testament worship. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine, when in excess will be filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Look at the flavor Paul gave to it, the three times. Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:18, and of course, the 1 Corinthians 14:14, down 26. There was the Holy Ghost element there. We've not even done enough to see enough. We just do it for some time, then when the excitement wears off, we go back to what we were doing before. No, let's stay there. There's more in the glory. I said there's more in the glory. There's more in the glory. Let's stay there. Let's stay there. Let's stay there. The last time I pastored a church or a ministry and they clapped was about 24 years ago. Hallelujah. Even places where I took on the pastoring for them, I taught them this. A guy told me this a few years ago. He said, when you came over and you taught us this, he said, yes, when you left, we went back to the old things. He said, but somehow something lifted in that mode of worship. Do you know that? In times when you are really full of the Holy Ghost, you hardly clap. Who has noticed that? You do clap. You will give more utterances. You have your hands raised the more. Hallelujah. Even the things we say about rejoicing in the Spirit, I think virtually every believer has done it before. It's just that you were not told. Those moments you just, there's nothing that came, not that you got any alert, or you got married, you know, dancing on your wedding day is like the world will come to an end that day. But you know, you have this unexplainable joy. Who has had that experience before you were told the thing of the truth? You just need it. You just don't go with the God. And then, have you found yourself, you just be singing a song you never, and sometimes you'll be whistling it. Where is this coming from? Because you are born of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost wants expression. You are the one that is the one causing the problem. You are just you are used to that lethargic, fleshly way of doing things. If we can do things more the New Testament way, church, we'll see a lot of New Testament results. We'll see. We are men of the Spirit. We are men of the Spirit. We can have Spirit-led worship. Spirit-led worship. Now, of course, we have songs that we sing that, you know, we get them from those who have sung them and did well and all that. But we can also have songs that will just come by the Holy Ghost. Tongue interpretation. Hallelujah. So, when you see things like that, release your faith. Say, well, I do this too. I do this too. The first time I sang a song that was in tongues was 1993 December. It was a friend of mine, again, the same person actually. Just sang in the Spirit. I said I'll do it. I have the same Spirit of God. I'll do it. And I sang my own song. Of course, my own song was just one line and 1 million stanzas. The same words. I was just singing it. But I've started. Hallelujah. What is important is that I'll do it the next day. By the time I do it the next day, I'll have two more sentences. If I keep at it, I will master it. And when I master it, one of the ways to master the things of the Spirit, teach people. Hallelujah. Teach people. One of the ways to understand Bible very well is with teaching. If you are studying and not teaching, you won't know anything. Let me say it in capital letters. If you are studying, listen to Living Word Media, you're not teaching anybody, you will know, you have not known anything. There is a knowledge that comes by teaching. See, the apostles grew with knowledge in the book of Acts. But you know they started by teaching. What could Jesus have taught in 40 days? Well, that was enough. But they kept at it. So, in teaching people, you get better. You get better. So, you release your faith. You release your faith. You release your faith and say, well, this is of God, and I walk in it. Never despise the things of the Spirit. Now, let me say this to you. I'm talking to many people this afternoon. You know, Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:14. He said, neglect not the gift that is in you, There was seemingly something that flowed from verse 12 that I noticed. He said, let no man despise your youth. Which means that somehow, Timothy might have been doing unpopular things. That don't let anybody despise you, right? But be an example. Now look at that with verse 14. Neglect not. There is a way, because of how people are seeing you and what you are doing, you now neglect what you have. You want to be, I don't want to rock the boat and all that. Said, neglect not the gift. There is a neglect you can do because of what people are saying. See, me. Look, if it's of God, I'll do it. If I'm the only person, I'll do it. I've been in services before, not one service, though, the same church. And I'll be the only person not clapping. And they'll be looking at me. And I wasn't doing it for them. Oh. So that, never. Yeah. It doesn't matter. By doing that, I'm training myself to be focused. Yes. That's it. Of course, I won't do that today again. I was in service, they were praying in the Holy Ghost. Before they started, no, it was after the service, pastor had preached. So we should pray. And they said, amen. I went to the pastor, I said, the prayer has not ended, sir. We have a burden in this house. He said, hey, are you sure? I said, yes, give me the mic. We pray till afternoon. I said, we have body. Which is, you want us to say amen, I'm doing Thanksgiving, I'm between drama presenting. No, we are going to pray. That's how we pray. You know? So, there's such a thing that don't neglect it. The things of the Spirit require use. Use. The gifts of the Spirit are verbs. They are active things. Tongues is active. It is spoken. Word of knowledge is given. Word of wisdom must be given. The sign of Spirit must be seen. Prophecy must be prophesied. Gift of faith must do something. Working on miracles must work a miracle. Gift of faith must do something. The gift of healing must heal. They are active terms. So, you must ensure you are not neglecting. Neglecting. There are other things. You know you can do that. Some of us have trained our intellect. You used to be very fervent in the undergraduate days. Ah, hey! You will go to, in London, we call it Zion. You go to a place where you go and pray all night. But now, your job, you are now a senior manager, or a chief manager, or a professor manager. You are now busy and all that. So, the way you would have stayed and some things you would have done by the Holy Ghost before, you would have said, well, should I go? Should I not? You would have prayed a bit in the Holy Ghost. Because in your office, you have been trained to use your logic. You are now applying it to every area of your life. It's a big error. Because you are now trained, that way, of course, that's your office. That's the way you reason every day. No. Remain supernatural. What did I say? Don't. This is what is the ancient landmark. Amen. You wasn't. Just still be that person that says, let me check my spirit. Hallelujah. You know, be that kind of person that will say, early in the morning, you just say, let me just spend some time praying in the spirit and rejoicing over this matter. Don't let it change. Neglect not the gift that is in you. Say, I don't live by logic. I walk in the word. I walk in the spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. So, in a Holy Ghost meeting, there are things to see, hear, and then you release your faith. You release your faith. We're going to see one or two things. Now, in the first service, I was the one who did it. I'm going to call other people to come and do it. You will see it, then we'll practice it. In some of these Sundays, I'm going to actually have some of you conduct the service. And I'll just be watching. But we'll get to that. Amen. I like to teach people what I do. So it demystifies it. Hallelujah. Okay? So, you will see it, then you will do it. Don't forget, as you see, what do? You release your faith. You release your faith. That woman said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. That's all she said. Jesus didn't say it for her. She said it herself. There is no verse of scripture for it. She just said it herself. You can release your faith in that direction and say, well, in this meeting, I walk in the things of the Spirit. In this meeting. Many times when I'm called to preach somewhere, we have a special meeting. I'll just say to myself, well, in this meeting, I release my faith. I prayed. And I keep praying. I release my faith that the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the nine of them, will be in demonstration. Release your faith. So, well, when we come together, we're going to have this happen by precept and by example. What you see, release your faith for it. Release your faith for it. Then let me also add this. For some of us, you have to watch people that influence you. There is nobody that is close to me, ministry-wise. Somebody was telling me a couple of days ago, he said, well, some people, preachers think that you are not friendly with them. I said, no, I'm friendly with everybody. If you greet me, I'll greet you. And I'll be cordial with you. I have my own friends. They said, who are they? I mentioned my friends. They said, I don't know them. I said, they don't know you too. I said, what's the criteria? I said, there's no criteria. It's just that I know them. They don't collect seed. They work for a living. Amen. They don't preach scriptures. They flow with the Holy Ghost. They know what it means to flow with the Holy Ghost. They are New Testament in their thinking. Say, ah, just to be your friend. I said, ah, you ask for what they do that we do alike. And say, no, say, these people I'm saying. So I said, no. There are people that when I say what is not clear to them, they're going to ask me. I will talk about it. They won't say, ah. They will say, do you hear what he's preaching now? They won't say things like that. There are people that can sell our books to and say, review it for us. Not the one that you give it to him. You collect it in the day of the rapture. Hallelujah. That's it. So have people around you that they do Holy Ghost meetings. They pray in the Spirit. They walk in the Spirit. They minister to the sick. They also get healed when they are sick. Or they don't even get sick at all. That the love of God does not declare their judgment. That materialism has not entered their brain. When you have people like that, you will turn out the same way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here in every believer. In every believer. So what we see in the meetings is not the Holy Ghost from anywhere. It's the Holy Ghost through the believers here. It's the Holy Ghost through the believers here. And Jesus taught us the key word. Receive. Be endued. Receive. Be endued. Receive. Be endued. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Receive, be endued. Receive, be endued. Don't forget, that receive is what? Take of it. Take of it. Take of it. Take of it. And you take by what you see and what you see and what you hear. You take by what you see and what you hear. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray in the Holy Ghost a bit. Pray in the Holy Ghost a bit. Amen. 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 Let's keep talking in other tongues. It's another intelligent thing. When you are in a Holy Ghost, even in a teaching meeting, you can just talk in tongues under your breath. Paul says that there is an interpretation. Let him speak to himself and to God. 1 Corinthians 14:28. There is an intelligence of talking in tongues on your own. What do you think Jesus was doing when he was being baptized? Luke 3:17. And he was praying as he was going. It always enhances your sensitivity. Hallelujah. 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 Look at how tongue and confession are done. I'll call a few other people, then we'll show you. Then you will now do it. Now, look at this. When it comes to tongues, it functions with your desire. Anytime you choose to speak with tongues, you will speak. Anytime you choose to speak with tongues, you have an interpretation. Anytime there's a prophecy. Anytime. I know my name grows. So see, I'm stopping and starting. Now, when I was younger, the very first time that I would speak with tongues like that publicly, I closed my eyes. But now, why am I not talking like that? I have practiced it over the years. If you do it often, you get better. Amen.
Ango prapasa, ke gatadonda, ke ga uye fra shushe fra inge papaya, le inge ratisa fraya, po bambombra anna inga frati kata, le go uze mo ure an ninge zo stopa hanne, le go nonge dan ingra tita fratida pa anda, le usanda fra anna katusa fra, tita tat onge da puse ne anna da hatas. Yeah. You ought to have gotten more active than you are. You ought to have stayed more in that field. You left that field too early. Yes, you did. And for much of us here, you ought to gain a mastery in the things of God. In the things of God. Gain a mastery in love. Do it more often. Let not one feat of love be the one that you speak about all the time. Let it be daily and regularly. Walk in love so much that it will almost sound boring to your hearing that you are always walking in love. Stay in that field long enough and gain mastery over it. Gain mastery over it. Make it a daily thing to set out your heart to do it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did that bless anyone? Did that bless anyone? Hallelujah. That's how to go about it. That's how to go about it. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, that's you are going to do the same thing. Now, what I said now, when I started out, I said, you have stayed in that field. I remember myself now. That is oftentimes directed to one or two people, or a few people. Then the other one went general. Oftentimes when it's like that, that's like a word of knowledge, then a word of wisdom. It doesn't have to be spectacular for it to be supernatural. It doesn't have to be what? Spectacular for it to be supernatural. Sometimes we are too engrossed with the spectacular and we miss the supernatural. Some things can happen and it will wow us. Some don't have to. But they are yet supernatural. Amen.